You may be seated. Open up your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, let's go to chapter 5 and verse 17. It should be really familiar to you, but let's do it anyway. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ..." Now, you do understand to be in Christ means you're a born-again child of God, right? Amen. So if you're born again, then you're in Christ. It says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." A new creature. See, people look at you and I and they see us on the outside, but they don't understand that we're not who we used to be. Amen. Now, we may look the same and have a lot of the same type of habits and that kind of thing and characteristics and all that, but we're a different person on the inside. We've been changed from the inside, and the spirit man on the inside is helping us to change our outside. Now, you know, my hair is not going to grow back or anything like that. You know, most likely, you know, I must get my faith going again, I guess. But, you know, that's the thing is, I want to make sure that the inside has changed so much that it begins to change the way I talk, the way I act, the way I behave and that kind of thing. And so it says, if you're in Christ, then you're a new creature. You're not who you used to be. Amen. See, we've got to learn that we're now not who we used to be. Our friends a lot of times will think that, you know, we ought to be acting like we used to. And matter of fact, the Bible says they think it's strange that we don't do the things with them that we used to do. But see, we've learned that since we're a new creature, we're not hanging around the same habitat we used to hang around. Come on now. We're not going around those same old haunts. And so it says, if you're a man and a woman in Christ, then you're a new creature. And then notice then it says that old things have passed away. Old things have passed away. Now, what's that mean? Well, it means that, you know, I used to be, you used to be something that we're not now. Matter of fact, let me tell you what the Bible says in Ephesians 2:12. If you don't have to turn, you can if you want to. It says that at that time you were, this is who you used to be, you were without Christ. You see, that's an old thing that's passed away. We were without Christ, but that's gone now. We're a new creature. We are now in Christ. So Paul says that at one time we were without Christ. That's who we were, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. In other words, we were separated. Alien means to be a person separated from. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Do you realize that when God brought you into His family, He adopted you into the family of Israel? Amen. Israel is God's chosen people. And the Bible says that we were grafted in, is the illustration the Bible gives us. It says, you know, that the old branch, see, those that the Jews that wouldn't accept the Lord Jesus Christ, they're cut off. And we who are Gentiles have now been grafted in when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. So now we are part of the commonwealth of Israel. Come on, see, you've got to get a hold of that. And that's why there is such a time going on here in the United States over this. The devil hates Israel because Israel is God's chosen people, always have been. Now, this country is a country founded and based on the Word of God. I saw where one of the guys I'm friends with on Facebook said that the United States was not a Christian nation. And I, you know, but now, you know, you've got to understand he's liberal, you know, and that kind of thing. But, you know, how can you not be a Christian nation if we were founded on the principles of the Word of God? Now, we've allowed people to bring their religions in and they worship their God, whatever, you know, because there's freedom of religion in our country. But our country is based upon Christianity. Amen. And of course, Christianity is based upon the Word of God. The Word of God is based upon God delivering from the Old Testament all the way through the New, His people Israel. The whole Old Testament is nothing but God bringing His people Israel to the place to where the Lord Jesus Christ could be born, and they could believe on Him and be saved, and so could we. The Gentiles, anybody that would believe. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the waters of life freely. And so now you and I are part of the commonwealth of Israel. We're Israelites being grafted in. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, I'm a Jew. I said, I am too. He said, no, really, I've got Jewish blood. I said, I have too. Yeah. You see, because in God's eyes, the blood of Jesus that's been applied to our life makes us just as much a Jew as the people that have Jewish blood. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about, Paul talks about, there's some folks that are blood Jews that are not as much a Jew as some of the believers that really believe. Because they don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They're rejecting the Lord, and so they're being cut off. And you and I have been grafted in. So we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, but now we're part of that. See, that's some of the old things that's passed away. He goes on just a little bit more. After he says we were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, then he says, listen to this now. He says we were strangers from the covenants of promise. My, my. We were strangers from the covenants of promise. What's that mean? That means that everything that God promised in His covenants was, we were estranged from that. We were separated from that. It didn't belong to us. We had no right to it. We couldn't have it. But that's who we were. That's an old thing that's passed away, because now that we're in Christ, you and I are in covenant with God, in covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so everything in God's covenant that's a promise is a promise to you and I. Aren't you glad? Come on now, because how many knows that all of His promises are yes and amen to us? Come on, everything that God says we can have now. That's something that passed away, the fact that we were strangers to that. Now we are partakers of that, and God wants us to have it. He wants us walking in that. So this is just who Paul says that we were. And then notice it says, having no hope. We were without hope. Folks that don't have the Lord Jesus Christ are without hope. You say, well, I know plenty of people and they seem to have hope. No, when he's talking about no hope, he's talking about no hope of salvation. No hope of heaven. No, there's nothing that you could look for. See, because this life is nothing. Come on, I know we make it a big deal, but I mean, the honest truth is eternity is what matters. This life is just a stepping stone over into eternity that goes on and on and on and never ends. So we have to make sure we're doing what we need to do in this life to make sure that we're ready for eternity. You see, we had no hope because we were separated from Christ. But when Christ died for everyone, then He gave us a chance now and gave us hope. And He is our blessed hope. Because He died for our sins, now we can receive Him as our Savior and know that we know we're on our way to heaven. You don't have to just hope so and a guess so or anything like that. I know that I'm on my way to heaven because I've received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and you do too. So we have that hope. When should we leave this earth? However we leave this earth, whether it's in the rapture with the Lord Jesus or we leave before that, we have the hope that heaven is our home. We have the Word of God as our promise of that. Amen. So he says, you know, we didn't have any hope. And look what it says. And we were without God in the world. We were without God in the world. See, there's a lot of folks that have religions, folks, but they don't have God. The only way you can have God in this world is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the only way. Now, there's folks that are they're in religions and they go through forms and fashions and all that, and they feel like they're all right. But you see, the Word of God is what tells us how to be saved and what we must believe to be saved. And so if we're not doing what the Word of God says to be saved, then we're not saved. We're not on our way to heaven. It doesn't matter how good we are at our religion or how faithful we are to that religion, whatever that religion may be. If it's not based upon the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a false religion. Now, I'm not telling you that there's not good people in a lot of those organizations, because that's all they are, is an organization. There's good people there, and their hearts are sincere. But you see, the thing about it is, if you don't believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be sincerely wrong. Amen. Because He is the only way. He is the way, the truth, the light. Right? So you've got to understand that. So Paul's telling us that's who we were. And so that's the things that have passed away. Those old things have passed away because now we have God in our life. Matter of fact, He's our Heavenly Father. We're children of the Most High God. Isn't that good news? And so He says, those things are who you were. We were creatures of darkness. Amen. Because you see, Satan is the prince or the king of the darkness. But that's who we were. Creatures of darkness. Now we're a new creature. You know, creatures of darkness, they kind of act different, don't they? Come on. Those that operate in the dark, there's something about them that's different from people that operate in the daylight. Right? Or even creatures that operate in the daylight. Did you ever notice bats when they fly around? You know, they stay hid up in some hole or whatever, but when it gets dark, then they come out. You know? You and I were creatures of darkness, but we're not anymore. Thank God. That's passed away. Now, the Bible says that you and I have been brought over into God's kingdom, and I'll show that to you in just a minute. But also know this, that we were under the power and the influence of the devil. That's who we were. Satan was our father. He was our God. Amen. See, we don't like to think of it, and we probably never thought of that at the time. But you see, there's only one God to serve, and that's our Heavenly Father. There's only two that are in competition here on this earth. It's the devil and evil, or God and good. And if you don't have God, then you're automatically in the other category. There ain't no straddling the fence. There ain't no half in, half out. You either serve God or you serve the devil. Now, I know that's pretty blunt and pretty plain, but see, that's the trouble now. We don't have enough preachers telling the truth. They're trying to sugarcoat and pat people on the back and make them feel all right about themselves, but you can't feel all right about yourself if you're not born again, because you're not on your way to heaven, and it's my job to tell you how to get to heaven. Amen. It's my job to tell you that you must be born again. You must receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and live for Him. That's what gets you into heaven. Anything else that anybody tells you won't get you there. Amen. Just being a good person, you can give, you can cook for churches, you can, no matter what, none of that, that's all good things, but it's not things that will get you to heaven. Confessing the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's what will get you to heaven. And so we've got to let the old things pass away, because now we've become new creatures, we've become children of God through and by our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we are no longer, which we were, on our way to hell. Because that's where we were. I was on my way to hell until I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who I was. You see, but that's an old thing now. Praise God. You ought to just thank God for that right now. You were on your way to heaven, but now you're not, because old things have passed away. And notice this, it says that all things are become new. Colossians 1, 13 and 14 says this, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin." Look at that. We've been translated. We've been transferred. Come on now. See, you were in the kingdom of darkness. Now that you've been brought out of that kingdom of the darkness and brought over into the kingdom of His dear Son. You see, when we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, number one, our sins were forgiven. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. He paid the price for our sins. Well, notice here that the power of darkness was broken off your life. The Satan has no hold on you anymore. Did you hear me? He has no hold on you anymore. He doesn't have any power over you anymore. The only power he would have is what you would give him. Amen. So we've been translated. We've been transferred into God's kingdom. Now, God did all that by allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to die on a cross for us. That's how he did it. Now, what should we do since he did all that for us? Well, go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to show you something here. Ephesians chapter 4, look we'll go up to verse 22. It says, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Notice the first thing here, it says that we need to put off conforming the former conversation. In other words, you've got to understand that that word conversation means life. We have to put off the old life. Now, see, here's the thing a lot of people don't understand, and especially the world don't understand it. They'll see a Christian make a mistake and say, well, they never got saved. But here's the thing. When you and I get born again, we become a new creature on the inside. Okay? We get born again. The Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of us. Our flesh stays the same. Now, I know that sometimes folks have things happen like maybe they smoked or they cussed or something, and they say that immediately that was taken away. But that's not true for everybody. For a lot of folks, once they get born again, they still have the same cravings. Their flesh tends to want the same things. Come on now. You see, and notice this, that it says we have to put off that former conversation, that former life, that the way we were. The reason a lot of times Christians backslide is because they don't put off that former lifestyle. They go right back and hang out with the buds that they hung out with before. And the buds that they hung out with before don't want to be around somebody that's born again, so they're going to do everything they can to try to get them to go right back into what they were doing. So you have to put off that former lifestyle. It's your choice to do that. Nobody can do it for you. God won't make you do it. Now, He'll quicken you. He'll unction you by the Holy Spirit that's living on the inside of you. But He will allow you to do whatever you want to do because God cannot override your will. Amen. See, a lot of folks don't like it when I say, oh, God can do anything. Listen, if God could override your will, He would be a respecter of persons. Amen. You see, the Bible teaches us that it's God's will for everybody to be saved. So if God could override everybody's will, everybody would be saved. Right? Because His will is for everybody to be saved. But you see, our will is what we choose it to be. Do I choose to be saved or do I choose to stay lost? Do I choose to serve God or do I choose to serve the devil? And I know somebody real quick say, nobody chooses to serve the devil. Again, there's just two ways. You either serve God or you serve the devil. Now, I'm not saying that you're a devil worshiper or anything like that. We weren't devil worshipers, but we were lost. We were in His kingdom and He was our ruler until we received the Lord Jesus Christ into our life. And then we got translated. Now we're over into His kingdom now. We're not ruled by darkness. We're not ruled by evil. We're not ruled by Satan. We're ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. Amen. And so we realize now that since we've done that, then here's what we're looking at. We've got to put off that old man, this flesh. That means, you know, when there's temptations there, you've got to put those things down. That's why the Bible tells us that we need to, you know, cast down imaginations and bring every thought into the captivity of the knowledge of God. In other words, when you start thinking that thing, whatever it is that thing is you're thinking, if it ain't godly, then you need to cast it down. You know, you need to get rid of that thing. Okay? That's part of casting it down. When you know, if you had a problem with drugs or alcohol, then you've got to say no. Come on now. You know, if you had a problem with, you know, homosexuality, if you had a problem with, you know, with pornography, or no matter what the problem was, that's something you got to put down. It's your decision to do. So he says that you put off the old man or concerning the old man, the things that concern that. And verse 23 says you put that off. And then verse 23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. What's that mean? Well, that means now I've got to change my way of thinking. Because now I'm a child of God and I'm not thinking the way I did when I wasn't a child of God. Amen. I got to renew my mind. And of course, we know that Romans tells us that we need to renew our mind. Be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to start thinking the way God would have us to think, and the way we get ourselves thinking that way is by studying the Word of God. Know what God says. That's how you learn what's right and what's wrong. The Word of God is our guidebook. That's how you know whether or not you should start thinking this way or thinking that way. Amen. See, and you've got to understand, when you're putting off the old lifestyle and you're putting on this new man and you're renewing your mind, you know, you can start. I know for Pastor Ed and I, we found out real quickly that we said some words that weren't curse words. They weren't taking God's name in vain. But we said some words that really didn't sound Christian-like. Say that you're real quiet now. You know, we said some stuff that just kind of sounds vulgar. It's quiet. That's part of this lifestyle, is so when you're around people, you don't sound like they sound. There's a change in you, even in the way you talk. Words you used to use. You know. Right? Come on. And we're talking about a lifestyle that seems to be governed by the Spirit of God, which means, you know, you can say, but, and nobody really thinks anything about it. But you say that other word, right? Come on, it almost sounds like you're vulgar. Right? And then there's some other words too, you know. But and they're not using God's name in vain. But can I just say they sound ugly for a Christian to be talking? Is that okay? They just kind of sound ugly for a Christian to be saying, because, you know, that's not who we were. That's who we were, but that's not who we are now. You know, that's part of this transformation that's taken place by putting off the old man and being renewed in the spirit of mind to start just thinking different about things. You know, and activities and things that we do. Even, you know, when you're around people, how you conduct yourself around others. They watch it. They watch very closely how you conduct yourself and, you know, how you handle situations and that kind of thing. So that's why, you know, he says you've got to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And I got to quit thinking that you know, I'm broke, busted, and disgusted. I got to think that God wants me prosperous and blessed. I got to quit thinking I'm so sick, if I died, I couldn't feel better. Right? I mean, you're talking negative stuff. You're talking stuff that was part of what you used to say and do. Now you know that when you renew your mind to thinking, even if you feel bad, you know you're the healed of God in Jesus' name. You know that feeling bad is not for you, because it don't belong to you. That came from the enemy. Amen. See, you've got to start changing the way you think. You've got to see yourself as somebody. God don't want you to see yourself as a nobody. Come on, you're a somebody. You're a son, a daughter of God. Amen. You walk up and look in God's face and say, look at him and say, I'm a nobody. Come on, see, that's just a slander in God's face. Because you were wonderfully made, beautifully made. God made you. You are somebody. See, if we could just get people to understand that they are somebody, we wouldn't have the suicides we have. Because they would understand they are loved. See, a lot of folks think they're not loved, but God loves everybody. He loves us all. So you need to quit the way you've been thinking about yourself. You know, quit changing that. Can I tell you something? Big lips won't make you no prettier.
Amen.
Come on. Right? You know, I mean, your beauty comes from the inside. Who you are as a person, right? I mean, you know, you can be built like the Coke bottle. But if your personality, you know, is like the Wicked Witch of the North, right? Come on, you're not a very pretty person. You know, I mean, people may look at you, but they won't like you. You know, but the devil uses things to try to trick us and get us to think, well, you know, if I could just change this, or if I could just change that, you know. And see, that's just lies of the devil, because that's all superficial stuff. Because when somebody loves you, they ought to love you for who you really are. Not for what you look like, because beauty fades. Come on, anybody seen some of these older Hollywood movie stars? I mean, Daffy Duck's prettier than they are. He's supposed to have big lips and a little head. Right? Come on now. See, but people do that thing thinking things are going to be better, you know, but it doesn't make things better. Amen. You might feel good about yourself for a little while, but then, you know, you've got to live with that the rest of your life. You know, so don't allow what somebody else thinks. When you look in the mirror, you've got to realize you're you and God made you and you've got to love you. You know, and, you know, if you weren't happy as a big person, you won't be happy as a small person. Come on now. Amen. I've seen it happen so many times. You know, what you see a lot of times is somebody will be big and then they'll go get surgery so they can lose all that weight. And it's not 6 months before they're divorced because they got to thinking they was all that in a bag of chips. And then all of a sudden they've been through two or three divorces because, see, if they weren't happy when they were big, they won't be happy when they're small. If you can't find somebody that loves you the way you are, then you're probably not going to find somebody that loves you when you're different. Amen. So, see, that's part of this renewed mind and your renewed thinking is to think, hey, God made me and He loves me. And if He loves me, I love me. And if you don't love me, that's your problem. You're losing out. You're losing out because I love me and God loves me and that's all that matters. You know, I have to thank God when you find somebody that loves you like they ought to love you. And they're going to love you no matter what you go through. Come on. Pastor Ed has loved me from over 300 pounds to where I'm at now. I'm probably as small now as I've been probably since high school. But, you know, we've just loved each other. I mean, when we first got together, she was a 9 to 10. You know, short and cute and pretty, and she's still cute and pretty. I ain't going to call her short because I've already done that once today. And that's life-threatening right there when I start talking about her shortness. You know, when we were in high school, and well, I'm getting way back here now. When we were in high school, they came out with a song for her. It's called Short People. Oh, y'all remember that song? See, there's a few of us oldies remembers that. Some of you don't even know a clue what we're talking about. They came up with a song called Short People. You know, I think we were dating when they came out with that, weren't we? I thought we were, yeah. Yeah, you know. But we've loved each other through all the changes, through all the hardships, through the things that we've been through. She's loved me when I was a knothead. Because she saw past that. I've loved her when she was mean. Because I know that's not who she is. You see, but that's what true love is. That's when you love each other even despite your faults. And so when you start renewing your mind and your thinking, that's part of that thinking, that you don't just make judgments just because of something that quick. You kind of run it by what's the Word of God say here. What should I do here? My mind, the way I think is different. And so we put off that old man and we start renewing our mind, the spirit of our mind, thinking the way God would have us to think, seeing people the way God would have us to see, and seeing ourselves the way God would have us to see us. Don't, whatever you do, don't judge yourself by somebody else. Come on. Can I tell you, don't judge your church by somebody else's church. Amen. You see all kinds of things, and I've been around a while, and I've watched as people, you know, judge and say, oh, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. And after a while, they're not even there. You're like, wow, what happened to what was happening? You see, because if it's not God, it's not going to be good anyway. So make sure that you're renewing your mind to the things of God. So you've got to do that. And then look what it says. After you renew the spirit of your mind, it says, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So I'm putting off the old. I'm renewing my mind so that I can put on the new man. Now, this new creature is not only a new creature on the inside. I've put on a new man on the outside. I'm not going to cuss you out when I get mad at you. Now, that my flesh might want to. Come on now. You know it's true. You know, somebody does something to you, the flesh wants you, it wants to see them get theirs right now. Right? You want to see them get it. You know? Pastor Ed says, why does God do that? You know. I mean, I'm glad Pastor Ed's not God. I've been a crispy critter a long time ago. Called fire down, you know. But then we start to recognize, you know, that's not God's way. Come on now. You know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But if that person repents and asks God to forgive them, we do too. And that's hard for us because, again, it's this flesh thing that we've got to put off because we've put on the new man and we're thinking different now. Yes, they did me wrong. They shouldn't have done me wrong. But, you know, God's still on my side. As long as I've got God, then it don't matter who else is against me. Right? If God be for me, who can be against me? Right? And so we put on this new man that thinks and acts different. Amen. I can see some of you all and know that I've seen the difference in your lives. Thank God for that. I've seen the change in their lives and how God, and it's had to be God. Right? And you know, I use him a whole lot. He's gone to be with the Lord and I miss him so much all the time. But I use Brother James Tackett all the time. You know, the man that I would look at was nothing compared to the man that he would describe when we'd sit around and talk. Matter of fact, he'd tell me some tales sometimes. I'd go, you did that? He'd say, I'm not proud of it, but I did. You know, but that's how much God had changed him, you see. And some of you can tell the same tales. I mean, you know, I've been around Charles and Bonnie a whole lot, and I've heard them tell some of the tales of how they used to be. I don't know if I'd like them when I back then. You know, Bonnie might have cussed you. I mean, you know. But that was that old nature. And ain't none of us proud of our past. But thank God that that's not where we're at anymore. That's passed away. And now we've become new creatures. And now you'll not find too fine a people. You get around them. I mean, they just that kind. Now, Charles, I mean, you know, it's... Well, no, they're good people. But that's part of putting on that new man, you know. And when you put on the new man, see, things start changing. I'll use them again. Look at their family over there sitting beside them. Their grandson's down there in Berea in a church this morning, working in that church, you know. Charles got to lead him to the Lord. But see, that's when you start putting on the new man, it starts changing things. If you live in the world and act like the world, then most of the time people hang around, you're just going to still be in the world. But when you start changing the way you live, when you start living out this and putting on the new man, it starts to change the family around you. Because again, they're watching you. So we're not the same person that we used to be. And so we need to start acting like the person we are now. Make sure that we're fulfilling ourselves and thinking about walking in this newness of life. Every day we need to get up and just be aware that we are the righteousness of God. Every day you need to get up. You're the righteousness of God every day, and you are His representative. Amen. You represent God on this earth. And when people look at you and know that you're a child of God, they know that you're supposed to be an example of what a godly person is supposed to be. So you just got to learn. The Bible tells us, and I'm not going to the scripture. I got it down, but I'm not going to it. But Paul tells us, he says, you need to walk in the newness of life. Because, see, you've been set free from the bondage of sin. You've been set free from the power and the authority of the devil. So, we ought to be walking around as children of God with our head in the air. Smile on our face like Stephanie said. Thanking God, I don't have to go to hell. I get to go to heaven. I don't have to be broke. I don't have to be sick. I can have an abundant life because the Lord Jesus Christ came here to give me one. And I just decide and make my decision. I'm going to walk in that newness of life. It's a choice I'm going to make. I'm going to live my life in abundant joy rather than always abundant misery. Come on, right? I'm going to live like Piglet, not be like Eeyore. Right? I mean, you know, I'm kind of like Piglet. I'm always looking for something to eat, you know. I mean, you know, right? You know, and Eeyore was always, he was always doom and gloom. That's not what a child of God ought to be. Why? Because we've been redeemed from all that stuff. If we walk in that, it's because we choose to walk in that. But we've got to come out because we've been translated. That's not the kingdom of God. That's not the kingdom of His dear Son. The kingdom of His dear Son is to walk in blessing, to walk in joy, to walk in health, to walk in prosperity, to walk in the fact that I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior and that my Heavenly Father sent Him here just for me. He would have sent Him just for you. And I accept Him as my Savior. And because I did, now I'm on my way to heaven. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. Won't you stand to your feet with me? Thank you, Father. Father, I ask you, Lord, to help us to always realize and be mindful of the fact that we are the righteousness of God and that we've been made new creatures in Christ Jesus. Help us to always walk in that newness of life, Father, and giving you glory because you provided it for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. God, we thank you, Father God, that we're not yet where we're going to be. But thank you so much that we're not where we used to be. And we just give you praise and honor and glory. And thank you for taking us to that next level as we renew our mind in the Word.